Before we start, I just wanted to introduce a special guest in our midst. That special guest is a fourth-year student who I would consider to be an all-star in the program. She's the first to finish everything. Maybe I'm saying too much.
I don't know if the presentation is going to be the first.
TMI or... First in a lot of things, but she is a veteran of many wars, many coding wars.
Yes, where you know
when you're in the trenches, you gotta coding team members who have your back. Brianna's been a faithful coder for me for a number of years, going back to first year, right? And was it the Chris Keller?
Yeah, that was the first
with Melissa. So Brianna has a history of using RF, and so what we're doing would be no stranger to what we're about here on the Deb Japco Research Coding Team. And I've invited Brianna, if it's okay, just for a few minutes, to talk about her research a little bit, because I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago, what I'd like to see happen while I'm in Uganda is for you guys to finish up Deb's coding responsibilities and then segue right into Brianna's coding responsibilities, which are not going to be that different from what you're doing now. It's
probably less labor intensive than fiber.
Yes, less labor intensive. That's good, right? So you're not going to be coding transcripts. You're going to be coding like little descriptions, which actually might be harder in a sense because you got less to go on. But these guys are coding 150 word segments. So it's probably, I don't know if it's easier or harder. It's less.
But
what I'd like to see happen is you transition to coding for her, and if that spills over into the summer, I have grant money. We have grant money that we can pay you guys. I think it's $20 an hour for that. So, and that would include work study students. Yeah.
Assuming.
You obviously will not. We're losing Tina.
Yeah, you're graduating.
We're losing Tina to graduation.
I think when I started. Yeah, you started your freshman year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's in her fourth year, but unfortunately, she's graduating a semester early.
I know
about that. So. This is the last hurrah with Tina. It's going to be very sad. She's been my right-hand woman for 3.5 years. So, Brianna would like to say a few words about her research study and drum up interest, and you know, so go for it.
I mean, I thought that I actually spoke, I think when I was in my second year, on the 30th, or in their first year. So I won't go too much into it, but it made a lot of sense because of the correlates of obviously having RF and Deb is also taking RF and applying that to certain descriptions, and it would make sense to tell you guys again, or remind you, or some of you do, let you know what my study is about. So in addition to examining RF, I'm examining the construct of alexithymia in women with eating disorders. And rather than taking a therapy like transcript, what we're doing is taking the procedure from the object representation inventory, the ORI, which asks for a description of mother, father, and self, and then applying those self-generated descriptions of mother, father, and self using the RF scale to be applied to those descriptions.
What do you hope to find?
Well, I hope so. I'm looking at
both eating disorder and not eating disorder.
Control, also quite a bit across the board. And I would like to see, so I'm also doing visual stimuli, presenting different visual stimuli randomly. So I would like to see if randomly if presenting body image related stimuli, if that would impact the degree to which women with eating disorders and probably non eating disorders could access their ability to mentalize.
This is a method of research called priming research, and it's become a very sexy topic in psychopathology research, and Brianna is on the cutting edge of that priming research. So go ahead.
Yeah, so I think it would have real implications for eating disorder symptomatology and the preservation of really harmful behaviors if women in a state of arousal, body image related arousal, have difficulty accessing their mental states and connecting that to their behavior, that can certainly have ramifications for the continued use of disruptive behavior, despite the knowledge that in a state of non-arousal, that the disruptive behavior is in fact harmful and has negative consequences. And also
looking at the ways in which the construct of alexithymia may,
or to what degree it does play a role in that ability to access mental states, as alexithymia is defined as a difficulty with being able to identify or differentiate among emotional states, as well as differentiate that between physiological states, which would too have a lot of implications for those with eating disorders that might have difficulty confusing physiological states with mental states and kind of putting those two things together. So just trying to bridge the gaps.
It seems like you're doing a lot
because you're doing it with people diagnosed with BPD, right? So a lot of the kind of literature on BPD and this difficulty with accessing mental states in a time of arousal has been kind of used and applied for my purposes since those with BPD have very deficient mentalizing capacities. And those with eating disorders are the right kind of neck and neck with people with borderline disorder in terms of how significantly kind of depreciated their
RF scores are
when compared with other access 1 and access 2. And those with eating disorders also have high severities of alexithymia as well, and even beat out other access 1 and access 2 disorders.
Tell everybody how you're collecting your data.
So non-eating disorder controls are being recruited from either Crime Bullets or the campus. So if any of you guys are teachers of undergraduate students, certainly let me know. If you'd like to pass along that information. And the eating disorder group is being recruited from the Ryan Food Center. And that's a multi-site facility for the treatment of eating disorders. They have locations all over the Northeast, as well as one Florida. And I think another way, California. So they treat
on all different levels of care, from outpatient to.
They have an inpatient, maybe residential, or high school.
And how are they completing the
data? So it's an online study. Sorry,
there you
that's a big
go.
Component. So it's an online study, so it really makes it accessible. Hopefully, that's the goal, to people to be able to complete it. It takes about 35 minutes to complete.
Because there's only kind of two full measures, plus the mother-father self prompts and demographic questionnaires, and half of them obviously randomly assigned to the visual prompt. And so, yeah, so it's an online study, and there's also a chance to win a $100 gift card. Five people may get the chance to win.
Do the coders win anything?
So the coders don't win anything, except my love, devotion, and maybe a gift. I can be bribed, it's fine. I'm just kidding. So the online part, I think, makes it really accessible, especially when trying to recruit women that are diagnosed with an eating disorder. It's really hard to access that population.
Absolutely.
And it's been really hard accessing, so.
Yeah, what's the latest count?
I'm like desperately like emailing the site directors and like, what's going on?
Oh, so you don't have instantaneous knowledge of how many subjects you've collected?
So I think with eating disorders right now we might have 5 or 6,
but I've been open to them since about 8 years.
And non-eating disorders?
I think about 18 or so.
That's, I'm surprised by the latter number. We could
yeah.
get more by the, of those by now.
Yeah, yeah, no, I, there are some doctoral students that do teach undergrad, and so they said they'd be gracious enough to forward that. The
anybody here teach undergrads?
Mm-hmm. There were all of us in our class, though. We didn't know her. She offers it as extra credit a lot of times.
Oh.
Okay, yeah, because I know a fourth-year student, Matt,
had given me a list of people that he believed taught undergrad, and I sent an email to all of those people.
But I can double check if
Noelle
and
Thompson.
I can
see
if those
people were including,
because
I can
have
a bunch of people
in the
program.
All right. Any questions? I have a question about the non-eating disorders of the general population.
Sure.
Are you able to differentiate whether or not any of them actually have an eating disorder?
So you can use, so like the eating disorder measure,
needed to rate like symptom severity. There are recommended cutoffs that on certain subscales or in a total, because there's like 4 subscales and then a total score that can be computed. And there are certain suggestions of cutoffs that if a person exceeds a cutoff score, then they likely may have a symptomatic indicative of an eating disorder. And so that's one of the criteria to be in a non-eating disorder control group, that if you exceed, I think it's like a 4 or whatever the score is on certain subscales, then it's likely that you have a lot of either body image or eating disorder related behaviors. Mm-hmm.
I'm in the bathroom before. Maybe you had mentioned of age, like you're looking for, is it?
It's just over 18.
Just anyone over 18. For both?
For both. I mean, I'm recruiting from
campuses, like for the non-eating disorder from undergraduate campuses, because most women with eating disorders are in that kind of 18 to mid-20s range, and so are those on college campuses. So in that way, I was trying to keep it somewhat in the same 18 to 20. But it's not being excluded based on...
There's no upper age, right?
There's no upper age. Yeah.
That means everybody in here could actually take the surveys.
Although, I would discourage it since they would have likely a much higher ability to mentalize, even just given the fact that they're in a doctoral program or in a study.
The questions are all online,
mm-hmm.
so you don't have to transcribe anything.
Yeah.
It all gets
I'm doing it from SurveyMonkey, so I purchased a version where it does like the random assignment for the Google prompt, and then there's a large description box for each of the mother father's called prompts, and then those can just get imported to like an Excel.
Which costs you what, only $300 or something?
For 1 year.
Yeah. You're gonna re-up?
Well, I have to.
Any other questions for our distinguished speaker?
So we could get our friends to do
it. Yes, you could. It's kind of
wonderful. Right.
Yeah. They were open and willing. If you would like to pass that along, that would be absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
And I have both of your references.
I was able to get a lot of people
from
other
countries.
Yeah.
Oh my
God.
New Zealand and Australia and Switzerland.
How did he do that? I forget.
Because it was via email, and I have like a lot of friends living in other countries right now. So yeah, people like take a study, like
diversified with us. It could be an international study.
Oh wow.
Going international.
I mean, that would be difficult for comparison purposes, but. I'm all about just getting participants.
Yeah, I think at this point you can just
lower
your standards a little bit. Who we all know have eating disorders. Any other questions for Brianna?
Thank you guys for listening.
For sharing.
I'm actually interested, I don't know what you guys are going over today, but I'm definitely interested in, it piqued my interest in understanding how you guys are blocking it off. And I was just curious about the way, because obviously depending on the therapist's line of questioning, that can elicit a much higher level of aura from certain blocks, which is the difference between my guys combining the self-initiating, self-promote, whatever self-generating response that has no, it's not being elicited by another person, the way that it was designed to be on the AI, but...
Well, what Deb and I learned is that for reasons we aren't totally certain of, previous researchers who've conducted this kind of coding have included the therapist's RF in their questioning along with the coding for each transcript, therapy transcript.
Yeah.
So the fact that therapists don't say a whole lot, especially if it's psychodynamic therapy, you know, means that those words don't contribute a whole lot to the overall mean RF. However, contribute something, right? And so I guess the assumption is that across all the treatments, all the sessions, I mean, that therapists have equal amount of RF and they're equally contaminating the scores of all the sessions of all the patients, so that it's not going to have a differential impact on RF scores. What I mean by that is one patient is not going to be affected more than another patient.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, assuming that RF is basically the same among all therapists. Perhaps a dubious assumption, but this is how the other researchers, Mergenthaler in Germany and Larry Joseph at Adelphi have done it in the past. And so we're following in that same vein.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an excellent question.
Yeah. And the sessions would then be like the highest RF that they get to?
Is that also
we're having two variables for each session, one a highest level and one the mean for every session, so that we can analyze the data two different ways.
Oh, I like that. Smart. Cool.
So, but within each session, the session is blocked off by 150 word blocks. And so each word block is being coded.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the highest RF within each word block. And then we take all the word blocks in the session, and we're going to add those up and divide by the number of word blocks, and that's the mean. But then we're also going to take the highest word block, RF, and that'll be another variable that we're going to use. So it's the two, it's the highest and the mean.
How many sessions on average do you have?
It's going to be 127 sessions.
With one patient?
No, it's five patients.
Oh, that's so interesting. So then obviously we'll be at across time.
Yes. So we might do a little time series action. We
don't know.
We haven't talked about that yet, but.
That's pretty cool. That's so awesome.
You're smart at taking this. You're smart cooking.
I tried to interest you in this data set. You turned me down.
I was set in my ways.
I know, but you know, what I say to all my students is, you know, you want to do a dissertation that you're passionate about. That's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Brianna had a passion for this, and so I wasn't going to say no. And I knew that she had the wherewithal, the talent to pull it off, so. It just, we have to have subjects cooperating.
Yeah.
So, any other questions for... You have a question for Brianna, Tina?
No.
All right. Well, you're welcome to stay if you want, or you can go.
I'm interested to hang out and see what.
Yeah, you can hang out. Sure.
Better,
you can tell she's a fourth year. They got nothing on their plates now.
Yeah. internship application or in a smooth sailing.
And you're taking, what, one course or something?
Maybe, yeah, I'm taking one course.
Externship, yeah, that's about it.
Something else for it, yeah.
Before we get into Deb was wondering whether we would do, whether we could, if you were interested in doing APA poster for this year or not this year. Would anybody else be interested in doing that with me and Deb? Because, you know, we have to think about certain kind of scenes. The abstract is due December 2nd.
Well, so you've got a frown on your face.
No, it's more of a, like, consideration.
Oh, okay.
I mean, why not?
Well, wait, what are the pros and cons? So what are the pros, Deb?
APA poster.
Pretty easy to do. Where's APA?
So that's relatively, that's an Amtrak, right? I've done that Amtrak commute. It's not bad.
Yeah, I like that. We had to have to see each other.
It's not in Hawaii. That's another good thing. But Jessica's on board for last year.
And we have, I mean, if other people want to sign up, we have people that can help with different areas. If one person is better at certain parts of the poster, then that can be, you know, designated to that person. We don't have to present the data, we have the data, so we just have to do the abstract, and you guys have to think about hypotheses that you have about the data.
That's probably your job.
I
think so. Unless someone has a burning desire to test a hypothesis.
But what if I say my hypothesis and then I'm going to pick up that's going to skew the codes?
It could, I guess.
I mean, it might not.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if anyone has any ideas, any hypotheses.
I'll tell you, I'm not going to have time to use hypotheses. Sorry. Okay, that's okay.
Well, you know, can I just argue against that for a minute? You know, you're going to be on the team, right? And I want everybody who codes to be on listed because you've done the work. You're a coder. So it's not going to require, I mean, you know, truth be told, Deb, you're the one who's going to be doing most of the work. Like last year, Michelle, everything fell on her shoulders and she did it and everybody's name got on it. So I'm not sure that it would require you to do any additional work beyond your coding to be named on the poster. So I wouldn't.
Yeah, no, what I mean is I probably won't have time to do any additional work, especially the next 2 weeks when we're getting stuff for the PO.
Oh, sure. I mean, yeah, that's, don't worry about it, you know.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I didn't want to really.
No, I thought you were saying I don't want to be on the poster. You know, you can be on the poster. We're not asking you to do any additional work. I just want everybody who's done coding, you should be rewarded for that. And a poster, in addition to over and above the money you're making, you know, the exorbitant fees that we're paying you, you know, you should be rewarded for that. And I think that was Deb's original intention, to let everyone have some kind of concrete CV building event that would make them feel even better about participating in the coding. Is that?
Yeah, it clears it up.
Yeah, so we're not asking for anything. I mean, I think basically what we're doing is we're asking maybe for a hypothesis or a couple of hypotheses that we can test. And then, Deb, you would be responsible for writing up the abstract and then giving it to me, and then it becomes a dialogue between you and me about the wording. So any burning hypotheses you want to ask the data?
Do you guys know anything about demographics?
What's that?
Do you know anything about demographics? I know it's very small.
Yeah, it's it would have to be, we're kind of limited there because it's only five subjects. So, and they're all white women. In their 20s and 30s. Not a whole lot of variability there. Well, let's see, we're going to have RF, obviously. And we're going to have symptom, the SCL90, you familiar with that checklist? We're going to have that on every single session. We do have QSORT data. Some of you know about the QSORT now. maybe more than you ever wanted to know. QSORT data on every single session. So those are your options. So with those three variables, and then we have the sessions in a particular order. So you've got a time variable available to you. So like over time, what happens?
The QSORT one might be interesting.
Mm-hmm. If there's certain cards that are being sorted and significantly coming up, one of the, I don't know why I'm talking to you guys for this, but that are like affectively driven, like is it sad or the card?
There's one that's like affectual modulated or something, isn't there? Like something like that.
Yeah, or like which affect is like prominent in the session, like depression, anger.
Are they like connecting with, like, is there like an expression, like are they tearful? Something like that might have an impact, particularly the diagnosis of anger.
Well, I wrote a paper that was accepted for publication. It hasn't come out yet. That actually identifies four interaction structures in the same sample, and I can read you the names of these interaction structures if you have an interest in that, and that might spur some. And that's not part of your dissertation, right? The interaction structures. We're doing prototypes. So this could be a fruitful avenue for people. Let's see. So, table two, the four interaction structures that I identified in this very sample, not, well, you're actually quoting practice sample, this is not the real sample, but heard that, collaborative relationship with a supportive, reassuring therapist, okay, interaction structure two, therapist empathic attunement, sensitivity, affective involvement. Interaction structure three, erotized therapeutic relationship. And interaction structure four, directive therapist with compliant patient. Those are the four structures that we identified in the sample. Now, can you think of some hypotheses around any of these interaction structures that you might want to create a formulated hypothesis around? Involving RF. Now this one obviously has more to do with the therapist. This one has more to do with the relationship, okay, which involves the patient. So I would think interaction structure two would be kind of out. Although one could argue that is a particular therapist more empathic with certain patients than with others? Do certain patients allow a therapist to be more empathic than other patients? So I wouldn't completely rule it out, but It's more of a therapist structure than anything else. Erotized therapeutic relationship. And the item that loaded highest on this is there's an erotic quality to the therapy relationship. So kind of a creepy feeling in the relationship. Creepiness, the creepy factor. There's a discussion of body functions, physical symptoms, health. Love or romantic relationships are a topic of discussion. Sexual feelings and experiences are discussed. Therapist presents an experience or event in a different perspective. Patient talks of feelings about being close to or needing someone. Patient's interpersonal relationships are a major theme. Patient has cathartic experience. So all of those loaded onto this interaction structure, which I called erotized therapeutic relationship. That's what I was thinking. Okay, so there's a one possible hypothesis. Then interaction structure for director therapist with compliant patient. This also involves both the therapist and the patient. Now, a compliant patient isn't necessarily a reflective patient.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
It might actually be unreflective. This one, if a therapist is empathic, it might be that the patient is open. I know that I feel more empathic with patients who feel or who express vulnerability and openness to what I have to say. So they might have higher mentalizing capacity. And then collaborative relationship with supportive, reassuring therapist. Again, if a patient is able to collaborate, then they're able to mentalize perhaps the therapist's experience and their own experience. So I would guess maybe with interaction structure one, RF might be higher among patients. And in interaction structure three, erotized therapeutic relationship, that the RF for the patient would be lower, to be a negative correlation. Negative correlation, right. So those might be two hypotheses we want to test. Thank you, Brianna. What do you think? What do you guys think? Well, don't all answer at once. I can't take everybody's response. Does it sound reasonable? Sound like BS?
So how do you take, maybe I'm a little confused, but how do you take the Q score for each session and line it up with the, like, see how many of the cards that fall in the structure three are in 7, 8, 9?
No, what you do is each of these interaction structures has a particular value for an item. Okay, so you take the interaction structure and you correlate it with a Q-sort of a particular session. So each session has a correlation or a magnitude close to or away from the interaction structure. So a Q-sort, a session might be highly correlated with an interaction structure or not correlated or negatively correlated with an interaction structure.
Okay.
And then you correlate those correlations with the scores of reflective functioning.
Gotcha.
You have to standardize the scores, but you get the idea.
So you take the interaction structure
and look at the correlation with the
Q-sort. For each session. Yes, and then you get correlations out of that. And you enter that as a variable, and then you correlate that variable with RF scores. Those scores have to be standardized, but that's easy. And then find out whether it's significant. Mm-hmm. Test your hypotheses. How does that sound? Jessica, you like it. Okay, I like positivity, yes. I will give that to you. Mm-hmm. Either via flash drive or I will email it to you. You know, these SPSS files are extremely tiny. Mm-hmm. They're like 9 kilobytes, so it's not a problem. Well, I'm grateful for the enthusiasm. And
yeah, I mean, you know, like, I will do this, totally, but I feel like I do need, I will need
support, man. See, that's what I want to hear. Everybody got Deb's back? Or you got your own backs? I mean, your name is going to go on this, right?
For people not with the third, people don't know. I mean, it's definitely good to build your CV in that way. I don't know how many posters.
Well, how many do you have, Brianna? 11 or 12. And where are you going for an interview for internship? What was it again? Columbia, the premier internship site in the tri-state area.
You're gonna jinx me. Now it would be horribly. No.
I know that that's something that has come up a lot, even in, like, externship interviews, that people have been really interested in research I've done, like, program side.
Would you say it sets you apart from other applicants?
I would say it sets me apart, and it also allows me to compete with PhD students that might have more research over than a PhD student. So it's something to keep in mind that I've found.
How does that enhance the enthusiasm? Well, I tried. You tried, Brianna. All right. So, sorry, Deb.
Yeah, no, it's okay. No, that's okay.
I think people...
Oh, no. No, I don't need to do another post.
I'm guessing that people are just worried about the additional work, and I don't think it's going to require any additional work on anybody's part but yours. So it's up to you whether you want to...
The right information can be shared. I mean, usually everyone does one section of the poster, like the methods, the results.
But not in the next 2 weeks.
No, but of the actual poster.
Yeah, and are you okay with that?
Yeah.
After the next 2 weeks.
Sure, definitely.
Because all that's required now is an abstract that's due December 2nd. That's all we need, and you're going to write that, right? And then you'll bounce it off me. So really, this doesn't require anybody's additional work until next summer, basically.
Well, hopefully before that.
Hopefully before that, but you know. So now is there more excitement? What?
We'll talk.
I said maybe this is a Debs and Melissa.
This is your idea.
No, that's why it's Debs squared and
Melissa. Oh, Debs squared. I didn't hear that part. Okay. All right.
Well, I can help it all.
She feels so bad that she's gonna put her name on it.
No, it's okay. You
don't
have my name. Oh, God, I can help
them. All right. Well. So I guess that's a yes. We'll agree.
I mean, I'm interested. I just didn't know what it entails. I've never done it before, so yeah.
Aaron.
Yes.
Okay. It's really not going to require a whole lot of work, especially not until the summer. And even then, it's going to require you to... Maybe somebody should, like, send a poster out. Maybe I should... Oh, that's true. Actually, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that particular one is in Valita's office right now.
I have an electronic copy, though.
Oh, you want to send it around? Thank you. That'd be good. So you can actually see what's involved. It's writing like a paragraph per section. So you have the abstract, which Deb's going to write anyway. You got like an introduction, which is like two paragraphs. You got a method section, which is a paragraph. You got results, which is a paragraph. And you got discussion, which is a paragraph. And if each person writes a paragraph, then we're distributing the workload more equitably so that Deb isn't stuck with the whole thing.
Big bar chart or something that just
takes
up a bunch of space. You don't have to write it. Yeah, right. If it's not, then I think last year I just did a big LSU book.
That works. So, all right. So we're gonna go through with that, and so you'll be responsible for getting me an abstract that I can review based on these two hypotheses that we've created, and you'll be responsible for submitting the abstract then by December 2nd. Okay. And if you need help from the group, you'll let us know between now and then. So it's less than a month from now. So, all right. Okay. All right, moving right along. So this week we took a little bit of a step back. We regressed to the mean a little bit, but we'll keep on moving. Did people feel that this was like more difficult transcript than last week's? Okay, that was evident. What made it harder?
I felt like just the language even didn't, it was jumbled and I couldn't follow it, and half the time I was like, I maybe could tell if there was reflective functioning if I could tell what they were even saying.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt very disorganized, or sometimes the therapist would say something, I felt like the answer was something completely different, so I felt disorganized reading it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Does that play into how you guys score? Like if the therapist were to say something and then the patient completely disavowed it or responded in sort of a nonsensical, unrelated way, would that have an impact? Even if it stood alone as something that made somewhat of an amount of sense, or would it have an issue?
Right, it would be either absence of reflective functioning, or it could be disavowal. Now, disavowal, we haven't talked a whole lot about it, so let me just read what a negative or zero RF would mean. Distinctly anti-reflective, that is to say hostile or actively evasive. Actively evasive, okay? Usually because the question, in this case, the therapist's question, is perceived as an assault or an attack. Or bizarre, impossible to understand without making the assumption of irrationality on the part of the subject, or inappropriate in the context of the interview, that is, in this case, therapy session. Complete non sequiturs, overfamiliarity, gross assumptions about the interviewer. So if the transcript contained a lot of that, you know, I'm thinking either negative one, zero, or one. Those are my three options. Eccentric?
No, inside joke.
Oh, inside joke. So nothing. So nothing bizarre or irrational. Okay. It's like they had a common language that they were sharing, that the an outside person wouldn't necessarily be able to decipher. Is that it?
Yeah.
What kind of distinguish the therapist like even more? And the whole thing was just, I don't know, just that it was still hard for me in my mind to like stop for sentences that were running together, because it was always too much.
No? Here, take a look.
Thank you. Yeah, no, mine didn't come out like that.
But you downloaded from the common email message that Jessica sent out, or was it Tina? I forget.
Tina.
Okay.
Yeah. No, mine didn't come out like that. I don't know why. Maybe I'm reading the words.
So that could account for the correlation.
I mean,
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
But we can go through and see what's going on. But you know, I checked everybody else's reliability, assuming that you weren't in the and people's were still much lower than last week, so we can't, it can't be attributed to you, the low reliability. Yeah, but I'm saying that you didn't pull everyone else down that dramatically. What we're doing is, what I do is I'm taking the mean of everybody's reliability with everybody else, and I'm rank ordering. And Michelle didn't have a good week, but it might be partly because something happened with her printing it out, but I also calculate everybody else's reliability without her scores in, and they weren't anywhere near the reliabilities that people got last week. So it had to be something about this transcript in particular that threw people off.
At 16, it goes from 1 to 4, 1 to 4. 16.
Yes, and there Michelle was the high scorer. So do we want to go to 16 and let's take a look at 16? So I described the 1 to 4. That's a big one, wouldn't you say? Having sat on a previous team when we coded this stuff. All right, so starts out pieces. Not for the purpose of getting the house done, I am sure. What was? Yes, it was too. The last time I gave him money was because he said he need the go out and buy the lumber for the bath, the bedroom. Before or after you went to bed with him? This was after. It was after the last time I went to bed with him. You were what I'm really trying to help you find out is, what were you playing? What was the game you were playing with him and the money and the sex and the house and everything? Because the end result of the game is that you end up in the hospital, and therefore somebody didn't play it by the right rules, you know? And then I put myself in the hospital. Yes, this time nobody put me there. The hospital part had something to... So...
I didn't find this one either.
Not codable, so I want to see what Deb says. Deb has these elaborate descriptions.
I'm not sure about this one.
Oh! There it is. See? He's reading everybody's minds. It's freaky. So let's see. Well, remember, we're coding this in the absence of any information about what comes before in the transcript. So if this were cutting, if these 150 words were just cut out, you know, disconnected completely from anything else, I'm just reading pieces, not for the purpose of getting the house done.
I'm sure.
What do other people think about that? Aaron?
I also could have hit them with a game. Just to imply that she was playing a game with somebody. What was the game you were playing with him and the money and sex and the house and everything?
Well, that's just a question. What was the game? You're assuming that they're playing a game.
They're playing between each other, and I was thinking game is kind of like a manipulation of another person.
Well, but does it? The question is, does it include some kind of mentalization? Is the therapist mentalizing the patient's mental state there? What do you guys think? Those of you who said absence of reflective functioning, which is everybody else.
My thought was that I would be inferring too much to assume that by game they meant some sort of mental state or alternative motive. I can kind of see the line that Michelle said, possibly showing a little bit, but I was still thinking that that is like one, maybe a two. Because it's not even like an actual, like, me, if we said, I feel sad as a two, mm-hmm. this doesn't even have, like, a mental state word in it.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, what Melissa's saying is, we'll give you reflective functioning here. Mm-hmm. It exists. Okay, to what degree? Mm-hmm. And four is bordering on ordinary RF. This is not ordinary RF. This is below that. It's questionable at best. And I'm thinking a two also. There's no mental state word actually used, which doesn't mean we should disqualify it, but we really need to see the inner workings of this person's mind and how they're trying to understand or interpret another person's mind, basically. Are they doing mind reading here? If they are, it's very, very slight. You were on the team. You want to read this?
I don't know, but I'm going to share.
What? It starts right after 15 and goes to the number 16, yeah. Brianna served on an RF coding team with Melissa, and so she has some previous experience coding RF.
Just looking at
both.
Oh,
so you're taking the highest that occurs across regardless of the therapist, right?
Yep. Remember, that's what we were talking about. You would ask that question.
Oh, okay.
And we're coding everything.
Gotcha. I thought they were doing a separate thing.
I mean, mentalization is intentionality.
It's all about intentionality. So
but
the purpose.
Other than purpose.
No, I hear you, but you're reading into it an awful lot there. There's a high level of inference that you're imposing on the data here, which are very limited. So a two would be fine. I'd be okay with a two. I'd be fine with a two. But if you had assigned a two, you'd be only within 1 point of everybody else, which I can live with. Right? Wasn't it within 1 point is what we talked about discrepancies greater than a point?
Yeah, anything greater than a point.
Yeah, so I'd be fine with a two. Three... You're kind of getting into low RF, and I don't know, contains some suggestion of mentalizing efforts on the part of the subject, which is nevertheless devoid of any element that makes reflective functioning explicit, never reflects mixed emotions, conflict, or uncertainty about beliefs and feelings of others. Response may frequently make use of mental state language without making clear or explicit that the subject genuinely understands the implications of their statement. Appear somewhat cliched, banal, superficial, or can be excessively deep and detailed, yet unconvincing and or irrelevant to the task. I don't know, I think three is a stretch. But two, I could live with that, certainly. So.
17 also goes from 2 to 5.
17. So Deb Chu is the outlier there. let me read that block.
case you haven't noticed, we haven't actually started coding real data yet. This is like practice stuff. So.
Okay, do with making. But I put myself there before, too. Yeah, but you know, you already admitted to me that the hospital had a lot to do with Ron and what he would respond to it with. No, I said that went along with it, but that didn't really... That I recognized was not the whole answer. This was where I kept saying, this is a symptom more than anything else. I see him more clearly as a person now than I did when I was going to bed with him. And I don't really like what I see. What do you see? Well, the same kind of irresponsibility that I had, except I don't think I'm that irresponsible. You know me, if I say I'm going to be somewhere, I'm there. That may not to be an attribute either, but it has... You just wave the white flag just like that? I'll giving up a fight? All right, let's see what you said. I see him more clearly as a person now than I did when I was going to bed with him, and I don't really like what I see.
Absolutely.
So we know there's reflective functioning. So anybody who scored a one, nobody scored a one. So that's great. So now you just have to justify the five.
A four.
Yeah. Okay. Now five would be ordinary RF. Response must contain some feature which makes a reflection explicit. Explicit reference to the nature or properties of mental states, how mental states relate to behavior or mental states in relation to the interviewer. Not be a cliche. I don't think it's a cliche. Though it does not need to reflect sophistication, response may show evidence of one of the six features listed below for assigning a rating of 7 in the context of a very simple observation of mental states, which would otherwise rate only a 3. The question is whether the reflection is explicit. I see him more clearly as a person now than I did when I was going to bed with him, and I don't really like what I see.
I underline
what I see. That's what I underline.
Because that's a feeling?
Yeah.
But a bunch. You gotta lose a few pounds. Taking into account one's own mental state and interpreting others' behavior. And yours was
4.34.
Envisioning changes of mental states between past and present and future. Okay, so interestingly here, we have mental state from two different categories. We have a category, the explicit effort to tease out mental states underlying behavior, which is taking into account one's own mental state interpreting others' behavior. That's what Deb pointed out. And we have recognizing developmental aspects of mental states. In other words, 4.3.4, envisioning changes of mental states between past and present and future. So if you have two, you know, mental state or a mentalization using two different categories, that should bump up the
screen.
No, I think it's two.
Is it two?
Let me see.
I have a question about 4.3.4.
Yeah.
Does it have to be from past and present and future, or can it just be from past and present?
No, it can be two different time points.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't have to be three.
Yeah, the way it says it, I thought it had to be three different time points.
Where did you read that?
Well, because it says from past to present and present to future. Right? Doesn't it say that way? Yeah.
Oh, I see.
And I mean, I'm not sure. That's why I was asking. That's why I didn't use that.
Well, let's look it up.
A key indicator of reflective functioning is manifested when speakers consider developmental changes in their own mental states. The change from childlike to adult ways of thinking we have dealt with above is one major indication of this kind of conceptual framework. Changes, however, may be envisioned over a much shorter time span, particularly when considering the future. For example, consider this statement from an expectant mother contemplating the wishes she has for the baby son she is carrying. Quote, "Now I just want him to be healthy and happy with what he was, but I know once he's born, I'll want him to be prime minister."
That's just present and future.
Okay. And what do you get? What do you think that was scored? Five. So you have that. If you go here to 5, contains some feature which makes reflection explicit, and their response may show some evidence of one of the 6 features listed below. And those 6 features, so it's one of the 6 features, is sophisticated, meeting at least 2 categories of qualities which suggest moderate to high RF. I'd say moderate, but there are 2 different categories. So I would go with Deb here and give it a 5. So Deb, you're the outlier, but I happen to agree with you. I mean, it's, to me, it's very clear. I see him, you're not going to get a clear, in this population too, you're not going to get a clear example of RF. I see him more clearly as a person now than I did when I was going to bed with him, and I don't really like what I see. That's just, that's ordinary RF. It's not even questionable. I see that as ordinary.
I thought it was 3 different ones, but now I know that it's 2. So.
What was the third one?
Oh, I thought you said that there was supposed to be 3.
Yeah,
oh, no.
The main quote is a 5, there has to be 5, and there has to be 3 instances of a 5.
No, it doesn't. Which show me? Because I'm looking at page 42, which is the actual anchor points.
I thought
that was higher. I went in
and copied it right into my notes, so I know I took it from there. I took it in a different text in my notes.
See you, Michelle.
Yeah, I
Well, it's good we're talking about this. If you can show me in the actual manual where it says that. Could be a mistake in the manual.
Here. The transcripts need to have at least 3 instances where data are being no breakthroughs of rejection or bizarre explanations.
What pages? Ratings of 5 are most commonly given to interviews which combine statements that are genuinely reflective. 7
with rudimentary, more superficial ones, 3. Oh, and then below that, all right, common types, ordinary understanding. The subject shows a capacity to make sense of their experience in terms of thoughts and feelings and has a consistent model for this, which needs little or no inference from the reader. However, the model is limited and would not tackle the more complex aspects of interpersonal relationships, for example, conflict or ambivalence, which are not necessarily well understood. The transcripts need to have at least 3 instances warranting a 5 rating. And no breakthroughs of rejection or bizarre explanations, pervasive disavowal, etc. 3 instances warranting a 5 rating. Now they're talking about looking at the entire AAI.
So are we applying these rules to each section though, the same way?
See, I read this differently. This, what this is saying is that, let's say we take a 150-word block, and there are 3 different times you're rating RF, and each time it's a 5. That's different from what I'm saying, which is on page 40, my page 42, I don't know what it is for you, in describing ordinary RF, the anchor points, under anchor point 7, meet at least one of the following criteria. The passage is sophisticated, meeting at least 2 categories of qualities which suggest moderate to high RF. 2 categories is the, remember we talked about the 4 categories of RF? So if 2 different categories are represented, that's a 5. So we're talking about 2 different things here. So in the one case, 3 different instances of 5. Could be one category, but if you have 3 different instances where it's 5 quality, that's a 5. But if you have 2 different instances, but those 2 instances come from different categories. Remember, there are the 4 categories of RF. If they come from 2 different categories, that would also be a 5. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Yes, no?
So two different
categories of 4 subtextions is a 5.
3 different instances of a 5 level RF is a 5.
But also 2 different categories of 4 subsections.
Yes.
So it could be either one.
I would. I think that gets the prize for that. Oh, whoa, let's do that. Which word block is that? Okay, so you would quote code it now a 2?
I coded it before a 2, I just wrote 1 over there.
Okay. Alright, so
I erased it, still that large.
Right. 2 to 6 is still huge. So Aaron, you're the top rater there.
I'm looking at it, I'm not really sure why I'd be on there, but I'm a little
just remember what I said. In my AAI,
I
tell people I had someone give me an AAI and then I sent it out to be rated, and my RF for the entire AAI was a 6.
Which is good.
Did you see her face?
Yeah.
Holy shit. And you're a professor? They let you teach here?
No.
Right.
Well, I mean, what's the average for, if you have a...
No, I think it's probably lower than that, maybe 2.
It's
Yes, I had. That was the average. I probably had some nines even.
Yeah. Definitely had a lot of nines.
That changes it. If that's the average that you're typically working on, yeah, that's good.
Oh, thanks. I'm glad I got your approval. All right, so.
Well, I definitely was looking at the, I could be wrong, let's still try to figure it out, but the parents, they have a pretty heavy price tag on all that stuff. They're taking their advice and they're attempting to control my life.
That's exactly what Deb outlined here.
Now I'm trying to figure out how to defend the highest good.
And part of it is taking my advice, it is my taking their advice and they're attempting to control my life. So the speaker is attributing she doesn't want to accept the physical contact or affection. Why is that? Because she's trying to attribute her behavior toward her parents. Why? Because they are doing something. They have a pretty heavy price tag on all that stuff, meaning affection. Part of it is my taking their advice and they're attempting to control my life. I mean, that's clear RF. So in my mind, I'm thinking 4 or 5. 6 would have to be like really getting pretty sophisticated there.
I think I would not be down to 5.
But I'm not so worried about the 6. I'm more worried about the 2. Yeah. And possibly the 3. This isn't questionable. There's nothing questionable about this. This is like really, that's a very good example of RF in my mind. Of ordinary, pretty ordinary RF, but it's definitely RF.
I think even going, the speaker also said this may be because of the several reasons. So there is that, there does give that opening of having a lot of issues.
Opaqueness of mental states?
I could be
wrong.
My assumption of this.
Right. That would be maybe under accurate attributions of mental states to others. Like, I'm not sure. This is an accurate attribution. Recognition of the limitations on insight. That seemed to fit better, right? Yep, that's
4.1.3.
Yeah, I guess I was just
not seeing the. I saw very behavioral or not. I mental states so clearly. Yes.
Do you see it now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I don't know if I think about before, though. But it's hard to. Versus reading into it too much.
Yeah.
For the speaker?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they might.
You mean like hyperactive RF?
No,
like there's talking a lot, like but.
The limitations are inside.
Yeah.
Maybe, right? Versus me trying to find the RF in there and the differences that.
Well, accepting approval, mm-hmm. To me that's a mental state,
yeah,
right? And then it may be because, and then the person is using the parent's behavior to explain the mental state of the speaker. I mean, that's just, to me, that's really clear.
I can't link the two statements.
What?
I guess I just don't link the two.
Yeah.
When she said, he or she says, of course that may be because, that's the link. The because word is very important there. That's a why. This is why I'm feeling this way about my parents. They do this. They are putting a very heavy price tag on this affection. Yeah, Deb.
For family and child?
Envisioning transactional processes between parent and child. It makes sense to me. Yeah.
I put the family dynamic one, which is like just under that.
Yeah, it's 4.3.7, awareness of family dynamics. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People are trying to get out of here. All right. So we're going to do better next week. Yes?
Okay.
Good luck with all that.
All that.
Thank you, Brianna, for coming in and talking to us.
I was going to ask you, do you need people who
If you can just open up a file so I can just open up
anything. I have a card.
Yeah.
So we need to write out the back of the card.
One of these
cards.
Carly.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Thank you so much.
You
want to? Yeah, so next time.
They should have P.
They all have P.
Well, I'm worried that something is very wrong here. We need to figure it out.
Yeah. That's a good idea to look at this.
Why would the P disappear? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, you gotta say P. Well, in the file, you open up the file.
Yeah,
the
file. But it has to be like,
I didn't know what was supposed to be. Mine's just. Oh, well, you click it, you click on your patient.
Yeah.